Our study tonight is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. Christ's identity as the world's Savior by His sharp ministry focus. If Jesus is God's true Savior of the world, and if His work of salvation included going to the cross, we should expect Him to have shown a high degree of focus on that greatest of all assignments in human history. Well, Luke chapter 9, 51 to 62 reveals the very sharp focus that Jesus had, and it supplies a rich application for us as well. Let me read the passage and then we'll get into it. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. And it came to pass in the time when it was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But Jesus turned around and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Okay, we need to clarify what is going on here. And there are some corrections we have to make with the text that you have that I read from, because some of these phrases don't appear in the best, in the earliest manuscripts, and that makes a difference. Luke chapter 9, verse 51, opens a section of verses 51 to 62 that presents Jesus as resolutely setting his face to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his assignment of going to the cross before ascending to heaven. And now, verses 52 to 62 then details four ways that Jesus was sharply focused on performing this assignment. And they become signals as to how God wants us to be focused. Because there's a lot in this world that can detract us from the assignment that God has. We can get sidelined very, very easily. And that's to the detriment of the will of God. First of all, Jesus revealed a sharp focus on God's assignment for him over all other divine callings. This is interesting. While the Lord headed south towards Jerusalem, he sent his disciples into a village of the Samaritans to prepare them for his arrival that he might minister unto them. But the Samaritans did not receive Jesus, for he was headed for Jerusalem. And of course, if you're headed towards Jerusalem, you're heading for Judah. And Judah was a place that was absolutely despised by the Samaritans. The Samaritans despised the Jews just like the Jews despised the Samaritans. There was no love but lost between them. There had been actually hundreds of years of acrimony between these two groups of people. So since Jesus was headed for Jerusalem, they did not accept him. They rejected him. Well, John and James then asked Jesus if they should call fire down to come down from heaven to consume these Samaritans. In Luke verse 54, John and saw this, they said, Lord, will you command fire to come down from them heaven and consume them? Now, the words, even as Elijah did, are not in the earliest and most credible manuscripts. And I prefer to leave that out, because you can see why someone would want to add that to clarify rather than for it to have been omitted. Also, Jesus then turned and rebuked them, so they went to another village. Verse 55, the original, the earliest and best manuscripts read this, but he turned and rebuked them, and that's it. And then verse 56, and they went to another village. There's no exclamation as to what's going on. And I would prefer that that reading makes more sense as well. You can see why a scribe would want to try and clarify, you know, why is he rebuking them. You always go with the reading that is less likely to be explained. It's more likely that someone had added this information to explain it than if they didn't add it. And I really believe, as Bruce Metzger does here, that that should be omitted. So Clearly, then, Jesus was not occupied with judging sinners in his first coming, as he will be in his second coming, but I'm going to the cross and the Father's will. Judgment is something that is going to be delivered into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he comes back, he's not coming back as a gentle Savior. He's coming back as a judge the second time. The first time, he did not come as a judge. This is why it says a smoking flax he will not quench, and a bent reed he won't break. He's just coming to present the kingdom, and that's it. So that's what he came to do in the first time. And it's interesting, he was so focused. He didn't take any personal affront at this. If they didn't accept him, we're going to the next village. And that's it. So we need to be that focused as well. Also, Jesus revealed a sharp focus on God's assignment for him over earthly possessions. This comes out in verses 57 and 58. When a man saw Jesus going to Jerusalem, he promised to follow him wherever he went. Well, Jesus replied that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but he had nowhere to lay his head. That he and his followers needed to focus on God's assignment over all earthly possessions. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to sell all our possessions and not have a home and not have a car and so forth in a society that we have, in the world in which we have today. You have to have the means of transportation just to go to the store and get food. You also have to, especially living in New England, you have to have a house where you can stay warm in the wintertime and hopefully relatively cool in the summertime. And to keep you out from the snow and so forth. But what Jesus is saying is that possessions should not be our preoccupation in life. Our preoccupation in life should be doing the will of God. Possessions are an addendum to that. The clothes that we wear are an addendum to that. I mean, so forth. So that's why he said made the statement about foxes and then also about birds. And then Jesus revealed a sharp focus on God's assignment for him over all other callings of men. As he was traveling, Jesus called another man that he had met to follow him. Beginning at verse 59, you'll notice, he said unto another, follow me. But this man said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, when we read this in our culture, we think, his father has just died and he wants to, you know, go to the funeral first. That's not the case, because if his father had died, he wouldn't even be in the area where Jesus is at. He would be with his father and with the family, and they would be at the funeral, because that's the culture of the time. What he meant by this is, my father is quite elderly. I want to stay with him until he passes away, and then I'll come and follow you. That's the statement the Lord Jesus is making, that the man is making. So Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. There's two uses of the word dead here. The first word dead means to the spiritually lost. And the second word dead is a physical dead. So he says, let the unsaved dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. This is a very interesting and a very important statement that Jesus is making, that those of his disciples who followed him, like he followed the Father and his will, were to put the assignment of God who followed him, put the assignment of God ahead of all other earthly human callings. You can apply that with relationships as well. We need to, you know, if God assigns us to a specific calling and a specific location, that has to come first in our relationships, even over family members, even beloved family members. It doesn't mean that we are supposed to stop loving our family members, but the will of God takes absolute priority over that. Also, Jesus revealed a sharp focus on God's assignment for him over all earthly relationships, verses 61 and 62. Another man offered to follow Jesus if he, as an Old Testament Elisha's case, who was called to his ministry when he was plowing, could first bid farewell to his household. This is an important statement. Another man said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. Now, this is interesting, because this is exactly what happened in the calling of Elisha. If I go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 19, we read about this event, and it's worth looking at. So, Elijah departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. This means that there were 12 other men that were plowing with him. He had a big operation. And he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. This, in that particular culture, was a signal that he was giving him the mantle, the passing of the mantle. It was a reception of the responsibility of the former prophet. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I request of you, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" In other words, he gave him permission to go back and say goodbye to his parents. Now, in this particular situation, Jesus Christ doesn't even allow for that, because the kingdom of God under the Lord Jesus Christ is more important than the calling of Elisha in the Old Testament. This is a very fascinating statement that Jesus makes. So he picked up the theme of a plowman, and he implied in the man's reference to Elisha as a plowman, noting that a good plowman did not put his hand to the plow of God's ministry only to look back, and that because that made him unfit for the kingdom of God. So this statement reveals that following Jesus' call in relation to his kingdom assignments takes a more immediate and fuller commitment than what even Old Testament Elisha was allowed when he was called to his Old Testament era prophetic ministry. See, if the Lord calls you to assignment today, that calling is more poignant and actually more important than the call that Elisha had in the Old Testament. That's an amazing statement to make, but that's what the Lord Jesus is making. We're dealing with the kingdom of God, and we are being called by Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's the head of the kingdom of God that is coming. And so when the Messiah calls us, he's our Savior, we got to listen, we have to obey, no questions asked, and our calling, our obedience needs to be immediate. So, Jesus is God's true Savior, as he was sharply focused on heeding the Father's will of going to the cross above all other callings, possessions, and relationships. So may we, like Jesus, as his disciples, put the Father's assignment for us above all other callings, possessions, and relationships. Two, may we then be careful to commit ourselves to the truly biblical assignment God has for us, that we not vainly perform some human-authored idea of ministry. If we are supposed to obey the calling of God, we need to make sure that what we're getting is the calling of God and not some calling that someone else or we ourselves have invented for ourselves. So it's very important to make sure, is this the calling that God has? If it is, we drop everything and follow him, or we put everything in its perspective behind that and then follow him. It's interesting, my mother, who with my second oldest brother was visiting my third oldest brother in Washington. My third oldest brother expressed regret that we as brothers didn't live closer together. And I've always been seen as a stray sheep because I go way off to the right coast and they're on the left coast. But there's never been a question in my mind that the Lord led us in this situation. It wasn't actually the direction that I had personally chosen, but the Lord made it very, very clear. And in fact, even earlier today, the Lord's leading was so dramatically clear in regards to what I had to do in a certain part of my sermon. It was almost breathtaking, so I stopped and I added to my little journal that I had. Now, that doesn't happen unless the Lord is leading and unless the Lord wants in a situation like this. So it's interesting. Each one of us applies this in a different way. But in my own life, you know, I made an application even in regards to this. God wants us to drop everything and follow him first. Doesn't mean I don't love my brothers or their families and everything, and doesn't mean that I won't visit them and so forth, but this is a calling that he gave. And so this is why we're in this situation. But the point is, Jesus was sharply focused, and we need to be too.